on a Sunday. But you know the story. Everybody here, except Kathleen, has been here for most of these. And she'll just have to pick up the pieces where they left off. And she's smart enough to do that. But Habakkuk was concerned about Israel. And God said, I'm dealing with Israel. And he sent Babylon. And he was okay with that, except for the fact what he couldn't understand was why God would use an ungodly, pagan, wicked nation to take care of Israel. Just do it yourself. That's what he couldn't get over. So there's some principles. You have to know that God is in charge of every nation, whether it be Babylon, whether it be Rome, whether it be America, whether it be Russia, God's in control of every nation, and nothing happens apart from God. Number two, God has a perfect plan. God has a perfect, number three, timetable. But number four, it all revolves around his kingdom. Everything that happens on earth is preparedness for his kingdom, because that's the only kingdom that matters. So if America's great, that doesn't matter, because the kingdom we're going to get one day is even a million times greater. So it all centers around his kingdom. And why God has allowed the things to happen and that he's happened, it's in his perfect time. But so he said this. He said, if you struggle with this area, stop and just stop and think. Stop. Don't react. Stop and think. Number two, he said for Habakkuk, this is what Lloyd Jones preached. He said, number one, number two, look at the characteristics of God. Go back to what you know. God is a sovereign God. God is an almighty God. God is an all-powerful God. God cannot make a mistake. God can do anything. If he can raise up everybody at one time in the resurrection, I think there's nothing God cannot do. Go back to what you know. Number three, then apply what you know to the principle at hand. And then if you can't still have trouble, if you still have a difficult time with that, then just give it to God and trust him by faith. And last week, and you say, how do you do that, Pastor? Well, this is what was given to Habakkuk. Let me get to my phrases here. It's in the other one, but he said in the first step, draw away from the problem. Get away from the problem. He went up into his watchtower. Get away from the problem. You know, if it's politics, turn off the TV, turn off your internet, get away from the problem completely. Just get away from the problem completely. Then number two, he said within the problem, take it to God in prayer and expect God to give you an answer to the problem. Expect God to give you to an answer to the problem. And where is God going to give you the answer? In his word. You know, I was talking to Steve and Hannah today, and with what happened with his wife having the stroke, you know, he was traveling in the Midwest. He leaves on Monday. Well, really, he has to leave on Sunday afternoon, drive down to Toledo. Then from Toledo, he travels all over Pennsylvania, Indiana, Ohio. And that was his job. And he was well compensated for it. He wouldn't mind me telling you that. That's why, I mean, he was gone a lot, but he was well compensated for it. But he was gone a lot. And so he's been looking around here, and then Randy had a stroke. Now, it wasn't a major stroke, and she's doing very fine. But, you know, they have a exchange student in their home, and he just needs to be home. So he told them he was done. He can't travel anymore. So he had a good job, and it lined up where he was hoping for in Nuevo, and that fell through. But he said this. He said, I said, God has a perfect plan for you, Steve. And he said, yeah, I know, but I wish he'd just give me a little note telling me what job so I know the plan. And I said, but you know it doesn't work like that. And he said, I know that. But I told him, go to his word. That's where the answer is going to come. When I was struggling about these elections, honestly, I really did struggle. And I tried not to show it all the time. But I struggled with the last election. I really did, because I think Mr. Trump got cheated. I think the American people got cheated, but enough. And I'm worried about 2024. I think this is even a more dangerous election. And I was struggling with it. And you know what? I did that. I drew myself away. I went to the Lord, and he answered. And he used the Psalms in my life. Really, Psalm 130 through Psalm 150. And every day for about 2 weeks, he gave me an answer. He just gave me an answer. Now, do I know what's going to happen? That's not the answer he gives. But I know he's in control. And I know the righteous one day will be rewarded. And the ungodly, they will get their punishment. Read the Psalms. That was my answer. And he said, God will give you an answer. But sometimes the third point was you have to be persistent. Because the answer doesn't just come overnight sometimes. But if you'll stay persistent asking God. Now, if you got cancer, he may not take away the cancer. This isn't a health issue. This is more a philosophical area, like politics, like direction, like philosophy. And so he came up with a verse, and we talked about it last week, the just shall live by faith. That's what Habakkuk got. He said, God, the just shall live by faith. God, I don't know completely why. I don't understand all the whys. But the just shall live by faith. So I'm just going to trust you. And that passage has been used in the New Testament. It's been used throughout the Bible. They say Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4 is probably the greatest verse in all the Bible. I always thought it was, I told you this, John 3:16. But the just shall live by faith. What a truth. So in verses, I want to go back to verses and look at verses 1 through 4. What this exactly looked like. And then when we get through verse 4 this week, we'll only do verses 1 through 4. Then we'll do 5 through the rest of the chapter because that's the five woes. Then God even reveals to him, he says, here's what's going to happen. Just so you know, here's what's going to happen to Babylon. See, God gave Habakkuk even more information because Habakkuk didn't have the Bible. So he gave him more information. That's why it's so amazing. But chapter 2, verse 4, the verse of God's answer to the question Habakkuk raised was the just shall live by faith. He was troubled by the ungodliness, that ungodliness would come over and take over Israel. But that's when God revealed that God was going to use the Babylon people to punish his people. And again, he came to that conclusion. And again, just because a foreign army would pride itself on strength and have a great triumph over Israel and its conquest did not mean that the Babylonians were justified in God's sight. Just because they said they were great and they were a great nation and they were a powerful nation, but it didn't mean they were great because to God, they were puny. They were small. So judgment was going to fall upon them. And so I went back. Who used this verse more than anybody else besides Habakkuk? The just shall live by faith. Who did it? Paul did. Yeah, Martin Luther. You remember when he posted the 95? I thought it was 99. 95 theses. Can I give you a little bit of the history to that? Because I think it fits why he used that. He grew up under the medieval system. He felt the burden of sin, but he didn't know how to free himself from that sin. He was not sick or crazy, as some claimed he was. He simply recognized God's just standards, that God had a law, an expressed law, and he knew he fell short of that. He knew he was condemned by those standards and trembled because of it. And so in being determined to seek salvation, he entered into the Augustinian monastery. And the reason he joined a monastery was to study the Bible more carefully. And while he was there, he was directed to this passage, Habakkuk 2:4, the righteous or just shall live by faith. That thought began to take a root into his mind. But at this point, Luther did not understand the verse, as he would later come to understand it. But he recognized that this was an important passage. It was an important thought. He recognized that somewhere in these words was a revelation of a different way of pleasing God rather than just fasting and self-work and prayers and charity and good works. And after much self-examination, his prayer ceased, His fasting ceased and his good work ceased, and he returned to Wittenberg and took that passage as the chief foundation of all his doctrine. That would soon mark the beginning of the Reformation that would sweep over all of Europe. Luther himself said of this text, "Before these words broke upon my mind, I hated God and was angry with him. I could not be content with frightening that he was frightening sinners by the law and by the misery of life, and that's how God controlled us. And God will still further increase his torture by the gospel. But the Spirit of God came upon me, and I began to understand those words that the just shall live by faith. Then, when I understood those words, I was born again like a new man. I entered through open doors to the very paradise of God." This revelation to Habakkuk shows us how to a person can be righteous before God, and in ourselves, we are not righteous. See, that's what he battled with. God was righteous, and he had to attain unto righteousness, but he couldn't attain unto it, no matter what he did. But you know what? So many people try to do that, don't they, today? The number one answer Gary and I get as we go out door to door, and we haven't got it as much right now, but the one I got more, "I'm good. I'm good. I'm working. I'm good. I'm doing this and this and this," and thinking, and that's where Luther was. But it never was enough to him. And it never will be enough, because there's nothing you can do to earn or deserve your way into heaven. And so he came to this verse, "The just shall live by faith." And it was a bomb that went off in his head. And that's when he understood it was by faith in Jesus Christ. It's nothing he could do. It's what Christ has done for him. See, that had bothered Luther so deeply. And instead of being righteous as we ought to be, we are sinners and therefore under God's wrath and condemnation. How can a person who is a sinner and under God's condemnation attain unto righteousness? How can one be made perfect or mature? The answer is nobody can attain to righteousness. No one is capable of perfect goodness. So how do we get it? It's God's gift to us in Jesus Christ. The foundation of our Christian life is not what we can do for God, but the foundation is what God has done for us. Therefore, the entrance into that life is not by working, but by receiving. It's opening our hands to the gift of God. Romans 1, 16 and 17 says this: "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Paul said it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, but also to the Greek. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So how do we receive God's gift? Well, the answer is found right there in Romans 1 and Habakkuk 2, by faith. It is important to stress faith's action, because we have a definition of our faith in our day-to-day that reduces faith to a more intellectual consent and is therefore far less than what the Bible means by belief. Let me explain this in a little illustration I could give you. If you meet somebody on the street and you say to him, "Do you believe in God?" You know, you get a response like this: "Well, of course I do. What do you think I am, an atheist? I believe in God. He doesn't want to go to hell. So if he doesn't want to go to hell and he believes in a God, then he's going to go to heaven." That's what we've reduced faith to. And you know where I really see it? In our sports teams and athletics today. They've reduced faith to, You know, they give some glory to God and then they live like the devil. You know what I'm saying? They've reduced faith. I hope some of those athletes are truly born again. And I think some of them are. I'm not limited to all of them. But they've reduced faith. You know, somebody says, well, of course I believe in God. I'm not an atheist. I'm not going to hell. Yeah, I believe in God. Well, let me ask you a question. Does that mean they're saved? No, because we've reduced faith to something it's not. Belief includes an intellectual consent. You know, Hebrews 11:6 sums it up. We must believe that there is a God, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith is more than just, yeah, I believe in God. It is a salvation that believes, but it trusts. It trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who died in our place, and thus turning us from sin to follow him. Faith is a commitment that carries on throughout life. The word does not say the righteous shall live by faith and then proceed on other principles of life. It does not say that the righteous shall draw on faith from time to time as faith is needed. It says the righteous shall continually live by faith. You know, maybe I can't explain it to you, but I think I talk to a lot more people than some of you do. Saved today, but not sure they're saved tomorrow. Things are going good, they're saved, they believe in God, and then it doesn't work that way, folks. When you're saved, you're saved. When you trust God, you trust God. You trust God when it's good. You trust God when it's bad. You trust God when you're wealthy. You trust God when you're poor. You trust God when things are going well, and you trust God when things aren't going so well. You don't turn on God. That's not, the just shall live by faith. And I think Habakkuk and even the Apostle Paul and even Luther was trying to make an emphasis, and in his day that was very difficult to do because everybody believed in the work salvation. And he said, it's not by works. Nothing you can do can reach unto heaven. It's by faith and trusting in God day by day by day. That's what that verse is. The righteous shall operate on this principle 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. As long as life shall ask, I shall live by faith. Again, the passage continues, the way of the righteous is the way of faith in God. The way of the wicked is the way of drawing back from the faith of God. The first submits to God and trusts God. The second submits to no one but himself. The person who chooses the second way, I believe, is arrogant. Because he says, I don't need religion all the time. I can take care of myself. Basically, they're saying, I can do it without God. And in the rest of the chapter, this shows the course and dismal of the end of the ungodly and the end of Babylon. So that's all I want to give you. The just shall live by faith. Well, Pastor, that's me. Okay. But is it you when you're told by the doctor you have cancer? Is it you when you get fired from a job because of nothing you did? You still have that faith when somebody turns on you, who mocks you? See, that's the truth Habakkuk had to learn. We use that phrase, yeah, the just shall live by faith. But it's true. The just shall live by faith. Now, I'm not saying you're not born again if you don't live by faith completely. That's not why I'm trying to tell you that. But I can tell you what, you may be born again, but you're not just. because the just will live by faith. Not once in a while. Not when it fits your schedule. But Habakkuk can learn. The just shall live by faith all the time. I think that's what made Paul. And I know one of you said Paul. Who said that? Okay. Annette did. Paul was so successful. Because it didn't matter if he was being stoned or he was being rewarded. It didn't matter to if he saw 100 saved or he saw nobody saved. It never mattered to Paul. His demeanor in salvation never changed. Because he understood the truth that Habakkuk gave us way back in Habakkuk. The just shall live by faith. So don't set God aside when you have a financial difficulty, when you have a health difficulty, when you have a work difficulty, when you have a vehicle difficulty. The just shall live by faith. And you have to, and that's all I wanted to show you today. We have to learn to trust God all the time. In the good, in the bad. In the pleasant, in the unpleasant. The righteous, the just shall live by faith. Now, I'm not saying you're not born again, but if something goes wrong this week and you come unglued and you do everything in your power to fix the problem and you grow frustrated, I'm not saying you're not born again. I'm just saying you're not righteous, because the righteous or the just shall live by faith. And I don't think I'm being mean by saying that. Because faith isn't something you turn on and turn off. Faith saves you and it stays with you. And I'm talking to myself right now. I ask God every day, since studying this passage out months ago, I ask God to help me live by faith. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 52 weeks a year. The just shall live by faith. I think Habakkuk had to learn that truth first. And when he learned that truth first, then God gives us verse 5 through the end of the chapter, and he says, okay, now I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do to Babylon. Here's 5 woes that are going to happen to Babylon. Just so you know. I just want you to know. But I don't think God reveals this to Habakkuk until he learns the principle. The just shall live by faith. And I think how much do we miss out on? That God doesn't reveal to us. I'm not talking something new. I'm just in his word. Because we've lost some of our faith. Boy, I tell you what, you learn this lesson, the just shall live by faith. I tell you, I think God will show you things from his word that are just going to amaze you. What a powerful truth. The just shall live for.